This is the Medicast Live, recorded on November 10th earlier this week, but released here on November 16th, 2009.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
This is the Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the Podmedic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Medicast. Just a minute here, I'll be dropping in the recording for this week's show, and you'll definitely want to make sure you stick through all the way to the end and listen to how we flub up the typical ending of the Medicast. We try for it three times and can't get it right any of the times. We were going to edit it out, but you know what? It sounds like we had such a good time. It doesn't just sound like it, that I just left that in there. Don't forget, you can find out more about all of the things we talk about in this product review from the EMS Expo over at medicast.com/blog. In the blog there, you'll find links for the show notes, and you'll find all of the stuff, links to the speakers and people we had on the show, as well as links to all the products that we mentioned. You'll definitely want to make sure you head over and check that out. Also, make sure you get back in touch with me. Remember, you can contact me. Send me an email to podmedic@mac.com or call in on the voicemail line. 941-306-3342 is your connection to check out what we're doing here and let us know what you think about the show. Without further ado, let's jump on in to listen to the recorded episode we did this previous week on the product review from the EMS Expo, and check out the special guests I have on this show. Remember, you can catch up with the Medicast Live almost every month, and you can find out more information on that by checking out the Medicast Live category over at the Medicast blog. You'll find out information on upcoming episodes, and if you sign up for the newsletter, of course, I always send out a newsletter blast to let people know when the show is going to be and how to get involved and check it out for yourself live. This is the Medicast Live, and we're recording this tonight on November 10th, 2009. We are going to be talking about some of the exciting things we did at EMS Expo. I can't believe it's just about 2 weeks ago that we were down there, but we've got a really exciting group on the phone line here with us, and some folks in the chat room, so we'll be moving on forward. Don't forget, you can call in on the chat room. You can call in from the chat room or call in on your phone line, and that number is 724-444-7444, and then you'll enter the call ID 18174 and the pound sign. Just follow the directions for getting connected by phone. If you'd like to call in on the phone line, we'd love to hear from you. And you can definitely take care of that anytime you want. And of course, always add your questions and comments in the chat room, because it's a lot of fun. And before we go too much farther, I want to introduce my esteemed guests. I've got a really nice panel here together. Some of the folks we had down at the expo, not everybody, but some of the exciting people. And if you've been following what we've been doing down there, you've probably will recognize some of the names and be able to finally put faces to some of the names. First of all, I'd like to welcome Greg Fries. Greg, welcome back to the Medicast Live.
Hey, Jamie, it's always a pleasure to be part of this. I really appreciate the invitation, and I've been missing all of you since we finished the EMS Expo. That was just so much fun to have all that time together in Atlanta, and so I'm glad to have this chance to catch up again.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind since then, and it sometimes it seems like it was just yesterday, and other times it seems like way too long ago, so I know exactly how you feel. Also along, if you guys are on Twitter at all and follow Ms. Paramedic, we have Ms. Paramedic here, and if you listen carefully, you get to hear her first name. Natalie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Awesome. And awesome. You are a paramedic down in Louisiana, and you are also, I call you the Twitter queen of EMS, I guess, is one of the things I've been tagging on you lately.
I'm totally not even the queen. Come on, I'm just a Twitter addict.
Twitter addict. Twitter addict. Tweeting in recovery. Here is Ms. Paramedic.
Hi, everyone.
And of course, we also have, I'm really happy to have on Carissa Karamanis O'Brien. I'm going to get your middle name in there because I haven't been including that very much. I apologize, Carissa. Welcome to the show.
That's quite all right. It's a mouthful. That's why I always go by Carissa O. It's a lot easier.
Yep. And if Natalie's not the Twitter queen of EMS, that would definitely have to be you then, at Carissa O on Twitter. And you did such a good job making the rest of us look good down at the expo when you were on camera. So thank you so very much.
Well, it was an easy job making you all look good. I'll tell you that right now. It was a lot of fun. I've missed you guys too, but we've been busy since Expo, and I'm looking forward to sharing more of it with our EMS friends.
Well, awesome. Well, let's jump right on in because this is kind of picking up where we left off. We got out of there on Friday and unfortunately lost some of the audio that we had recorded. And that just kind of drives me nuts when those kind of things happen. But the good news is because we can get together like this, we can kind of revisit some of the things we talked about Friday morning as we were wrapping up the expo. And so I'm going to go ahead and since we've been talking to you, Carissa, I'm going to kind of start off with you. There were a lot of exciting products and a lot of things going on at the expo. Did any kind of trend in products and new things that you were looking at kind of leap out at you as you were going around and looking at things?
You know, I don't know if I could map them all to one particular trend, but I got to say that maybe just good old plain innovation. I was really excited to see a couple of sort of up and coming newer vendors that were showing products that have launched in the past year. A couple in particular, the ACTfast anti-choking trainer, I thought is fantastic. They've gotten some interesting visibility recently. I'm sure you're probably going to talk about a certain C-spine product later that I know you really liked. That I'm a resuscitation girl, so I always love going around to see the key vendors in that space and check out the newest features on the monitor defibrillators. And, there was no shortage of interesting stuff to see on the show floor this year. It was really great.
Yeah, I didn't get through all of the expo hall. I was really kind of kicking myself. We were all so busy, and I really didn't get that time where I could just walk through the expo hall and just kind of look and see what was there. I was always seen to be on my way to something else and couldn't really stop and enjoy.
I know, it's true. I mean, I had the benefit of sort of doing the man on the street interviews on the show floor. So we got around to see some of the hottest products and some of the most interesting stuff. But even then, there was plenty more on the show floor that I would have loved to have spent more time on. And it just, there wasn't enough time in the day.
And we certainly had a lot of people wanting to get their products looked at. And I think we did a good job of picking out some of the products close by and the people that were putting up with all the noise of us doing our live show. We got to give them a little of attention. I agree with you. There were some really, it was nice to see some of the smaller, and I don't even want to call them smaller because I know they're having a lot of success, but some of the newer and new kids on the block of products and EMS that we saw, and definitely a lot of innovation. I agree with you.
Absolutely.
So let's move on and ask Natalie. You were there. You got to come in and check out the expo, and you gave us a hand with keeping on top of things and tweeting during our podcasts. And I know you got a chance to walk around and look at everything. What did you find that really caught your eye as you were walking through the hall?
I was just Googling it, actually. I don't remember the name of it. It was the mannequin. That the simulator that actually leaked, like it drooled and it had snot and it teared up and made a difficult airway. I can't remember the name of it. I really like that one.
And so you're Googling drooling, snotting mannequin or?
Basically. And I also liked the X collar, which you guys will talk about later. I actually got to try it on. And I really, really enjoyed that product. My boss is actually looking into getting that for our company now. But yeah, ex-cop.
We'll talk about that a little later on. But yeah, that is that was one that caught, I think, a lot of people's eye while we were down there. You know, the person who might know what we're talking about in the way of that mannequin is the guy who just every time he walked out on the floor, he came back with a stack of business cards from people he'd contacted. I don't know how you do it, Greg, but you seem to meet people faster than anybody I know.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know the mannequin. I share your same regret, Jamie, of on the plane ride home, I thought about 20 different booths that I was like, oh, I can't believe I didn't talk more to so-and-so or just do a once around. So I, 4 days of walking through the exhibit hall and then I leave and I feel like I didn't have enough time. But, you know, I think, well, it's a couple things. One is, you know, I just really enjoy meeting people. And that was the biggest reason I was there at the expo. So, you know, just would have no fear and go up to people and talk. And, you know, we had a pretty compelling story to tell with the work we were doing with social media and podcasting and the videos. So it was really easy to talk about and to be excited about. So, you know, that as far as any one thing that caught my eye, you know, I think the theme that some of you have already touched on, and one that I'm always looking for at conferences, is somebody that's a field provider, and then one day they just get a really good idea, and then they have a chance to develop that product and bring it out to the market. And while nothing jumps to mind from this particular conference, that's the kind of thing I'm always looking for, is somebody that's been in the field and thinks of something and then makes it happen. And I always find that exciting.
Well, I think Carissa brought up that choking trainer. And it's one of those things that anybody who teaches CPR, you know, we go through that process of teaching people how to do the Heimlich maneuver, but we always have to say, please don't really do it. And so people really don't understand the type of force, the direction of force that is needed to do this job and really help somebody who is choking. And Chris, I know I've seen it before. I saw it back in the spring at EMS Today for the first time. But I know you were taking a look at it as well.
Yeah, and we tested it out. We put it on Chris Montero, Kiki Medic, and had him play with it. And it's one of those products where you think, you know, you've been through CPR training a million times, and exactly, you go through that point where you're like, well, you know, this is what you would do, but of course we can't actually simulate that. And you see a product like this and you think, why didn't we think of that sooner? It's perfect. It's just so intuitive. And then you try it, and then I encourage everyone to check it out. It's a great product. It's simple. And it really gives that real life simulation experience that you truly need for effective training. I thought it was a great product.
So, Greg, what else did you see? I mean, we looked at there were a lot of ambulances there. There always are. But there were some interesting things going on with provider safety, patient safety in the back of an ambulance. I know, Carissa, you and Chris looked at that side-loading ambulance, which intrigues the heck out of me, other than the fact that if we get that, we'll have to rebuild all the hospitals.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's some debate as to whether, you know, that's a safer alternative. You know, we wanted to check it out. We wanted to show everybody, you know, some of the options and, again, the innovative solutions that are out there that are coming to a system near you. It's interesting.
Greg, you were looking at a lot of different things and some educational opportunities. I know there were a lot of, different educational tools of various types around the hall. Did anything in the education arena kind of step up and catch your attention?
Well, one of the things I think was just the fact that so many vendors were providing education in their booths, whether it was like a, you know, I forget which, maybe Physio Control and Boundary had actual sort of classroom areas set up in their very expansive booths where they'd had speakers scheduled to present. But even at the smaller booths, I felt like a lot of vendors were trying to teach as people participated in the session. Of course, my friend John Dillon, who was part of several of our podcasts, you know, he and I are doing a lot of work together in terms of using games to teach. And I know he had a lot of people that were excited about the products that C3 Softworks is offering in terms of creating learning games, not just games for fun, but learning games. And the other thing that, you know, is always on my radar is things that have to do with online education. And online education continues to be a growing part for Fire and EMS, and there is many vendors selling those services, and a lot of different ways that education is offered online. You know, one of the trends that I see on the horizon is that services are going to be looking for all-in-one software solutions. So as I walked the halls, I was asking, you know, people that were selling things like EPCRs, electronic patient care reports, or administrative and billing services, if they're and even scheduling, if their clients were asking for, you know, a bundle of patient care report, billing, scheduling, e-learning, inventory, you know, vehicle tracking and dispatching, and sort of a bundle of software. And either I'm the only one seeing the trend, or maybe I'm just a few years ahead. But I know a couple of services are starting to ask for it, but most of the vendors I talked to just sort of either gave me a blank stare or said, well, no, we don't do all that. We just do this, and nobody's asking for that all-in-one solution. So, you know, that's one of the specific things that I was looking for related to e-learning, but I still think it's on the horizon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And we are really the last bastion of continuing education arenas that in the medical field that require face-to-face learning for the bulk of our continuing education. And I'm hoping that changes soon, because it really hinders, I think, our ability to maintain our licenses in the way that we could if we were given the opportunity to have more online or distance learning opportunities. And I'm hoping that the registry or the state directors will find a way to change that and bring us around to a stronger online learning environment, like so many other, you know, the physicians, the nurses, the physician's assistants. Most of the other health fields are moving, you know, allow you to do all of your training online if that's what you'd like to do.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, I have this optimistic view of the future, and that's people will train for the sake of training and get education for the sake of education. And, you know, as I walked around the exhibit hall and the number of vendors that were offering education in their booths, and, you know, certainly they're trying to sell a product, but, you know, we all know that you don't always sell on your first contact with the consumer. So I really thought they were offering training for the sake of training in a lot of instances. And the fact that so many people are sitting down to attend those presentations, whether it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes, I think it's good for the profession. And just there's so many different ways that we can train and receive information. And the fact that it doesn't always have to be driven by, oh, you need this many CE credits or refresher hours, but just, you know, excited. It's exciting to me that, you know, vendors are providing that training and people are actually taking them up on it without that promise of a CE credit.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not just about the CE, and I did enjoy seeing so many people offering that kind of a learning opportunity as you're going by. And it's one of the things that I feel strongly about, you know, as companies move to reach their customers online and through social media options. One of the things I'd like to see more of are companies providing, you know, that additional value to their end users, whether it's, you know, a CPAP company or a ventilator company doing airway lessons and talking about airway management and oxygenation and those kinds of things. I know, Carissa, you know, we've talked about this and are trying to really push this agenda forward, but do you see more of that coming as each expo comes around?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's emerging. I think it's still, you know, it's still fairly early in the adoption curve. And, you know, when you're dealing with some of the larger corporate manufacturers, you know, there's still a bit of, you know, conservative tendencies when it comes to, you know, jumping into the social media waters. But we're seeing some that are really coming out and doing some smart things as far as engaging with the EMS community and with their customer base. But they're in the minority right now. We're definitely looking to see more folks come out and get more engaged with that community. The ones that are doing it and doing it really well right now are standing out as the smart ones, and they're building more, you know, affinity for their brands and for the purpose that they have, you know, for their products. So, you know, I'm thinking of a couple. There's a company called ThinkSafe that does a lot of first aid type products. They're fairly active in on Twitter, and they have a corporate blog. Cardiac Science does a great job of blogging and staying active in social media. I'm sure there's a few others that just aren't coming to mind right now, but you know, hopefully we're going to start to see that more and more. And if EMS Expo is any indication, you know, of the reaction that we got from folks, you know, from just the coverage and from you know, the activity there, then this is hopefully going to be the beginning of a steeper curve in getting folks jumping in and being more active very soon.
Yeah, definitely. And I just noticed in the chat room, we actually have another medical celebrity in the chat room. Dr. Anonymous has joined us. Dr. A is in the house. And of course, we have to revive Natalie. Apparently, she fainted when she saw he was there. Are you with us, Natalie?
I'm still with you guys.
Natalie, there was a lot of, you know, not just products that were there, but, you know, a lot of people go to these things to get to touch the toys, play with the toys, and of course the swag. You know, anything. I know everybody was kind of doing their swag runs here and there. I know what Greg's going to say if I ask him. I'll get to him in a second. But anything that you brought home with you that's kind of been your favorite new thing to have around?
I'm so glad you asked me that. You remember when we were doing the podcast and someone gave us the pen light?
Yes.
Well, I used that like on all of my calls the other day. I was like, yes, I actually have a pen light that stays on me, and I'm always, you know, missing a pen. So it's a bonus. I love that clicky pen light. And that's the coolest thing I brought home.
Yeah, that was nice. It got absconded with one of my kids went, ooh, light. I mean, it's like, anybody seen the movie Up? Yeah. My kids are like, squirrel. So they just, you know, they like, I mean, just dumped the pens out on the table, and they're like, oh, this one lights up, this one lights up too. And so they were all over the pens.
Nice.
I know, Greg, you like pens.
Oh yeah, definitely a fan of the click pen. And you know, I kind of been grinding a bit of an axe about free stuff before the expo. I started this, and you know, I'm just looking for a more sophisticated interaction between whether it's vendors or hospitals or regional EMS organizations, that we move beyond the thought of like, oh, it's EMS, we'll just give them, you know, free food or free Con Ed or, you know, free click pens and they'll love us forever. It's certainly, you know, I'm not averse to a free meal or a really good click pen like the one Natalie's talking about that we got from Medic Alert with the red light in it. But, you know, what I'm looking for, and this comes back to what Carissa was talking about with social media, is that, you know, EMS professionals, obviously we like to belong. We all like to be a part of something. That's, you know, we love the uniforms and the patches and the T-shirts and being part of a group and working together. And you know, I'm encouraging, whether it be a vendor or a training center or a regional organization or a hospital, you know, to engage and interact with the community and think about a relationship with your, where you're both sharing and listening and answering questions and providing resources, and not always be focused on free food, free CE, free pens, but an actual relationship where people get a sense that they belong to something, they're part of something together.
Yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, it's not just us, though. I know that all of these conferences in the medical arena, a lot of stuff is given away. And you can walk into any physician's office and look at the, you know, the desk is covered with pens from different companies. You know, I don't think physicians have to buy Post-it notes or clipboards or any of that stuff if they don't want to.
You know, Dr. Anonymous might weigh in on this in the chat room, but you know, at least the hospital where my wife is working as a nurse, they've actually moved away from accepting any sort of gifts or food from, you know, the drug companies. And I think they're doing it partly just to get some good press out of it. It makes good news copy to say, hey, we're not taking this stuff anymore. But I think it's, you know, an interesting practice in terms of saying, you know, we can't be so easily swayed by a basket of bagels or a box of pens or some terrific Post-it notes.
Well, anyone who's seen me knows I could probably be swayed by a basket of bagels, but they'd have to be fresh, you know,
right,
and maybe some cream cheese or something to bring along with it, but
you know, Dr. Anonymous just writes in here, actually, drug reps are not allowed to give out drug-branded pens beginning January 2009.
I didn't know that. You know, and this shows how old I am. I used to work on some video crews that went to some cardiology conferences. I worked for one of the, as a freelancer for one of the drug companies way back in the day. And I just remember going to one of these conferences, and there was like this whole... One company had all of their heart catheters laid out on like a bar that they had put up, and it looked like a little Polynesian lounge, and they had the thatched roof over it. And there were these pretty girls mixing daiquiris there, at the, you know, behind the bar, and you know, here, you know, what flavor would you like? And here, try this out. Put your hands on this. See how flexible it is. And it's like, you know, I just turned around and I went, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, because it was like, you know, it was like a bunch of used car salesmen, when somebody new walking onto the lot. All right. So anyway, stunned silence. All right.
Quite the vision.
Well, you know, I think the other thing that we talked about in the Lost podcast, Jamie, in terms of innovation, was the smartphone, whether it be the iPhone or the BlackBerry, and what that is. You know, certainly we had a formal social media presence, but the exhibit hall was filled up with what I call social media public information officers, you know, people like Natalie and our friend Jody walking around with their phones, snapping pictures, sharing them on Twitter, Facebook. You know, Natalie had her flip video camera and was posting her own videos to her blog. And I think as we move forward, there's going to be more and more people doing that at conferences. And, you know, I think vendors are going to have this realization that, you know, it's not just going to be somebody walking up with a fancy camera like Ted or Chris or EMS One or EMSresponder.com were at this camera, but it's going to be medics just like Natalie. They're going to walk up and say, tell me about your product. And she's going to turn it on, her camera on, and they're going to be on. And then she's going to share it. And if they come off well, it can only help them. If they're not ready for that, it could be, you know, at the least embarrassing and at the worst hard on their brand.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I'd like to see more of is you know, some, and I know last week's EMS Garage was talking about social media, and you all talked about that we need to really work on opening up companies to being amenable to letting people have more access to social media, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there who didn't get to catch all that stuff coming across Twitter because they're not allowed to access Twitter in their station or on their computers at work. And they missed out on the opportunity to learn about all the things that were going on there because of that.
And there's, you know, there's a lot of there are a lot of companies out there that are missing the boat and some of the conversations that are taking place without them. You know, good, bad, you know, ugly, indifferent. They're not engaging in that discussion, and they're not having any, you know, opportunity to shape that discussion. And it's a lost opportunity. You know, and this is not just EMS. I mean, it certainly applies to EMS in our world, but you know, it's the new evolving, you know, to Greg's point, sort of that citizen journalism movement that, you know, everyone is now a content developer in some way, shape or form. And, you know, it's really opening up a huge opportunity for us as consumers, for us as practitioners, but, you know, and for companies as well to really build a following and to build, you know, a brand awareness. And for those that aren't taking part, they're missing out.
Absolutely. Natalie, you know, you call yourself the Twitter addict, but, you know, it's not because you don't have anything better to do, but I know that you pick up on a lot of things going on at places like this conference or other events or other things that people are learning, and it provides a great opportunity for you to add to your practice.
Social media is such a great way to stay connected. And I think that's so important in our industry, is to make those connections with people, whether it's other podcasters, it's EMS professionals, it's people in your area, et cetera. You just get opportunities you never could have had before. And wow, Jamie just totally said that in the chat room. Wow. But I would have never known about Expo had it not been for social media and Twitter. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And I encourage more people to log in and connect with people. There's my spiel about social media, you know.
No, definitely. I completely agree. Let's bring it back around and get back on to I'm just as guilty of this too, because I think I steered the conversation in this direction. But you know, we had a lot of vendors. Greg, you brought up that you tried contacting some of the vendors and only heard back from one.
Yeah, and you know, it was partly just a bit of market research on my behalf to do that, but I really need a new pair of duty boots. And I'm just really hesitant to buy something without trying them on. So I thought, oh, this company that sells the boots that I want to buy, I'll send them a Twitter message and say, you know, bring a pair of 10.5s to Expo so I can try them on before I buy them. And, you know, I've already picked out what I want. I just want to try it on. And if I could have tried it on, I probably that night would have gone online, spent $125 and bought the boots. Now, 2 weeks later, I still have the same miserable pair of boots that I've always had. And, you know, so, and yes, I said duty boots,
I'm sorry. It's
to
my,
wear when I'm working on the ambulance. So, but so anyway, that's what I, partly what I was
trying
to do, but I also was thinking we could set up some interviews and start a connection and get some of these vendors to be, you know, I also wanted to promote the work we were doing with EMSExpoLive.com.
Yeah, and I also think that a lot of times they don't get that it's a two-sided conversation. I think they just picture it as just another form of shouting out the ad and not really understanding that it's a way to hear the response back. And I know, Carissa, you probably agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be a two-way conversation. You know, there are entirely too many folks that, you know, maybe newer to Twitter, and they merely use it as a sounding board, you know, and they're sending stuff out. You know, the same folks you'll see that, you know, aren't really following folks back because they're not taking it in and then responding to it. They're just using it as a soapbox to push their messages out. And, you know, that's one use for it, but I don't think that's the way to really build relationships and build community that's going to, you know, ultimately benefit whatever it is that, you know, your objective is. So, you know, I think more and more folks are learning that's the better way to do it, that the two-way open, you know, discussion. And that's really where the true power of social media lies.
So, Carissa, you did a lot of the product videos. What other, of the videos you did, I mean, it looked like you guys were having a great time, but did you find that any product was easier to work with and doing those kind of videos as compared to others, or were some people more receptive than others?
We had a ton of fun. I was really, really impressed with how responsive folks were in general when we were out there seeking these interviews. We had a ton of fun with Segway. Segway of Utah was there. They had a huge space where, they had a number of their units there, and they were letting folks ride them and get that experience. Come on. Anytime you're going to get on a Segway, it's going to be fun. And Chris and I had a little mini race where we ran the course on the show floor, and that was great. But the people there were more than anything, it was a lot of fun, but they were smart. And they really, they were really selling on the benefits of that product. Sent actually live, myself in action at an event here in Boston. And I know that they're using it in Philadelphia, and some other major systems are using it for a lot of like mass gathering events, like marathons and triathlons and things where they want to have first responders right there among the crowd, where they can get great line of sight and be able to respond quickly. Those folks were great. We also had a lot of fun with a company called Force 911, where they're outfitting first response vehicles that are converting from gas to propane. Really smart vehicles. It's greener. It's less dependent on foreign oil. It's more economical because propane is a heck of a lot cheaper right now than gasoline. Just really, really smart systems that they're creating. And the folks there were really tremendous about, reaching out and wanting to engage more with our community. So hats off to them. That was a great experience. I could go on. There were a number of folks that were really great. Those are a couple that kind of stick out in my mind.
I like the video you did where Chris's face was melting. You had the moulage stuff.
We did the moulage. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I love how I think Ted or Chris had edited the video so that when you go to emsexpolive.com and you scroll to that video, it sort of stopped on like that horrific look on my face.
That was the best part. That was the perfect look.
He's a goofball. I love him.
Yeah, definitely.
To that point though, I mean, the moulage, that was an interesting one. We kind of, that wasn't initially on our plan, but we kind of went by and we saw their products and were so realistic. And again, it speaks to that need for, sort of a realistic patient care, simulation. And that stuff is key for training. We enjoyed checking it out.
So we're kind of rolling in here on the closing out the show. And I wanted to give everybody a chance to think a little bit about their choices for product innovators. I know Greg and I kind of have our choices, and I know Natalie, you and Carissa both know what we're heading towards here because we'd already talked about it at the expo. But I want to give everybody a chance to think about if they had to give an award to one, which one would it be? Which one kind of leaps out at you as the one that catches your eye? And you can use one of ours. We can get into those two early, but I'll let you go first, Natalie. Do you have one? And like I said, you can pick one of the ones that we might be talking about anyway, but love to hear what you think is, if you had to take one thing back to your station or one thing that you think will really innovate and change the way you practice as a paramedic, which one would it be?
Well, like I said earlier, I'm a really huge fan of the X-Collar. I already brought the literature back for my company because I believe in the cervical splint, not just a C-collar. And, I actually got to talk to the guy who invented it. What's his name? Sebastian. Am I saying that wrong? I don't remember. But he was really awesome. And, I really love that X-Collar, and I cannot stop singing its praises. So I'm going to let you guys go on because I know you guys have some stuff to say about that.
Well, we can kind of move into that right now. I mean, I think, Greg, you and Chris and I kind of looked and picked a couple of products. One of them was the X-Collar as one of our product innovators from EMS Expo this year. And I think for those of you that haven't seen it, somebody can type in the chat room. I think it's just xcollar.com. You can really take a look at it. There's a video on there that shows how it works. One of the things I liked about it was it really is actually a splint for the C-spine. The collars we have right now, show of hands, imaginary hands out there, how many people actually think that people only come in 5 or 6 sizes? And yet that's what we try continuously to make our seat collars fit. Greg, I know you'd agree that there is some option. There needs to be some better option, but no one seems to have come up with it. I think one of the things that really caught my eye about it was that it seemed really almost infinitely adjustable. It could stabilize the C-spine out of alignment. So, when we find our patients and we're supposed to put them back in neutral alignment unless they complain of pain when we start to move their head, in which case we need to try to splint them in place. That's hard to do, especially if you're moving them around to get them out of a vehicle or get them situated. Well, this device is able to, you can actually ratchet it off to one side and still stabilize the C-spine against the sternum and against the thoracic spine below where the C-spine leaves off. And so you actually get a splinting effect. And I was pretty amazed. And Natalie, you wore this. It wasn't uncomfortable, and yet you really felt like your head was kind of locked in place and your neck wasn't going to move.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to have to put those videos together. I took a few videos with me wearing it. And I'm telling you, I could wear that thing the rest of my life and not complain. It was that comfortable.
Natalie, really, are you hoping that it will stretch you out a little bit?
Oh, Greg.
Maybe so. Don't pick on the short people, Greg. Don't hate.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just curious.
No. But yes, it was really, And as far as movement, like in a C-collar, if you've ever had one on, I'm sure you've all put one on in downtime. You can totally, you can manipulate the cervical region, which is, it defeats the purpose. But in the X collar, I literally had to turn my body to look to the left and right and, turn up and down. I mean, it's just amazing. But I'm going to have to post those videos soon. I'm going to get on that.
Another related thing that's just been, there's been a study published recently where they put motion sensors on simulated patients and then measured how much the patient was moved during extrication. And they compared, applying a cervical collar and then just having the patient get out of the car and lay down on the backboard versus, the CAD device and then, rotating the patient, having them lay back on the board. And the method that led to the least cervical spine movement was just having a cervical collar on and having the patient get out of the car on their own and laying down. And so, I think part of what that maybe gets at is the importance of a good cervical collar, as well as, calling into question, well, are the things that we've always done, do they make sense? And then what products, if something makes sense to do, then what is the product that's best designed to do that? So what other products, Jamie, are on your mind from the expo?
Well, I looked around on a couple of different things. I think that, I was happy to look at the things they were doing with the LifePak 15. It's an expensive product, but I really enjoyed how they were showing us how tough it was. All the little things they came up with, like they had that weight smacking that screen continuously through the whole expo and didn't break the screen. And I think Dan White said it best. We had him on the show at the expo, but he made a comment to me when he was talking about how tough products need to be to survive paramedics. And he said, you know, you can put a paramedic in a room with two steel balls and you come back an hour later and he'll have lost one and broken the other one. And I think that's a good statement because I looked at the things they fixed on the LifePak 15 to make it more durable. And it was all the things that had broken on our LifePak 12s. The defibrillator pad cable was constantly wearing out after a series of times because it got pulled on and yanked on, and screens getting broken. And they really addressed the things. When you're going to make that kind of a purchase and spend that kind of money, you want to make sure that it's going to be durable and be able to last a good long time in the back of your ambulance. And I like to see those kind of changes. I like to see it so often, you know, and this comment was made, I forget by who, it might have been by Skip Kirkwood, but you're talking about we started out with taking hospital equipment and taking it into the field. And you know, it's been a slow change to really say, all right, they need completely different design factors in the field than they do in the hospital.
Yeah, you should, Dan could add to that, you break one or you lose one, which I guess would be the same as leaving it on scene, which I feel like I could. Yeah, one of the things
Did you leave a defibrillator on scene, Greg?
Well, I haven't left a defibrillator on scene, but I've left jump kits on scene and oxygen bottles. I'm not proud of it, but
I left I left a stretcher at the hospital once. Yeah, it happens. It was late and we were all really tired and we were talking to the nurse and we just got distracted and we were back at the station and the phone's ringing. It's in the middle of the night and it's the hospital and I'm thinking they need something from my report. And, you know, your stretcher's still sitting here and I go run and look in the back of the ambulance and it was like, oh!
Jamie, what was the name of the laryngoscope, the video capability that we all like so much?
Let's move on to that one because that was our other product innovator. It's not even on the market yet. Trufatec is the name of the company, Truphatek. Dan White moved from Alliance Medical to help start up this branch of this company coming into the United States. And this is called the TruView video laryngoscope. And I really think it's going to really change the way we deal with intubations in the field. One of the things I think video laryngoscope is going to help us in any way, all of those products. But one of the things this one does is that it actually has a port for connecting oxygen at 10 liters per minute, and it will flow down past the tip of the blade. It'll clear the lens, keep it from fogging up. And also, and this was an added benefit that Dan was talking about to us and showed us, was that the constant oxygen insufflation from the end of the distal end of the blade actually can extends the time frame you have to go ahead and get that tube in place. And even though you have a video scope, you don't have to rush because this gives you the opportunity to make sure you're in place to carefully guide the tube in. And because this oxygen insufflation actually extends the oxygenation and gas exchange in the patient's lungs, not for an huge amount of time, but he said he was in an operating room and watched an anesthesiologist show how this worked, and had the patient go 3 full minutes without sats dropping below 94 on the monitor. So that was something that really caught his eye, and he said this is going to change how we do things, and I have to agree. And on top of that, the camera pops right off, and you can actually use the blade and scope as a manual visual scope. You can actually look in through the lens with your naked eye and guide the tube in if for some reason your color video screen dies on you. So That's why I picked that as our second product innovator. And I think that we'll see more of that. Hopefully, Dan is taking his time. He understands how tough it needs to be, and he's looking to bring that out just after the first of the year. And we're going to have Dan on to talk about that when that happens, because he's a longtime friend of the Medicast, and I want to make sure that we give him an opportunity to talk about what he's doing, because he's always stood behind good products. And I think that we will see that with him involved, this is going to be a product that we can use and make use of in the field. So, Greg, did you have any impressions after you looked at that? Or
yeah, I looked at that and, you know, equally impressed as you. And one of the things that got me to thinking about is, you know, we have all these different devices, and, you know, eventually we got to get these devices to communicate with each other. You know, you've got an LCD display of some sort on the front of that LifePak 15 now, or your Zoll E-Series monitor. And, you know, why isn't that giving us more information? Like if we've got a video laryngoscope playing that video on that, you know, how many screens do you need, I guess, to look at any given time? And so I'm always sort of thinking about what's next and getting all sorts of ideas. And certainly that's one of them is having that. Or, you know, being able to have that video playing on your smartphone. You know, more and more of us are going to be issued, you know, cell phones of increasing sophistication by our services. And why not use that video screen? You know, there's just so many options to display that information. So more than, you know, one person might be able to look at it, because it could be, you know, it'd be helpful for the actual person inserting the tube, but it might also help the person applying cricoid pressure to know what is being seen. You know, who knows? A lot of options there. But that was also a product I like to see, and I'm looking forward to how Dan moves that out into the market after the first of the year.
So, Carissa, we'll kind of come down to you, and we've talked about our two product innovators. You've talked about a couple of different things. Anything else in the product marketplace that really stood out for you or that you would have liked to have seen more of?
I can't possibly pick one. Come on now.
We'll pick four.
Well, you know, I mentioned that, you know, I'm a resuscitation girl. It's been a focus of mine for 10 years. And I too thought that Physio did a great job showing off the ruggedness of the LifePak 15. I got to give some love to Zoll. I thought, you know, they were doing some great things with E-Series, and, you know, their new data management product looks really interesting. They've been doing great work with data management now for a while. And they've got a new product they just rolled out that looked really interesting. They were doing some interesting education right in their booth, showing that off, which was great. You know, in Philips too, they had their new QCPR, the new next generation of their QCPR product, which Chris and I played with a little bit. That was interesting as far as real time feedback on the meter, right on the CPR meter on the patient's chest. It's a good innovation there as well. What else? You know, I think I've mentioned the other few that really caught my eye. I think that those would be my picks for this year.
You know, I wish I would have spent some more time at that Zoll booth, because when I came back to work at the service I work for, I was doing the rig check in the morning, and I was like, oh, this is a new monitor. And there it is. There's the brand new Zoll E-Series monitor. And, you know, it would have been nice. It would have been a great opportunity there at the expo to talk to Zoll and learn more about it. You know, Jamie, I want to end just my contribution with something on the low-tech end. And this is maybe not an innovation. I mean, the printing press goes back a long time. But our new friend Tom Middleton that we all met at the expo, is a EMT and firefighter he's going to hate me for this, but New Hampshire or Vermont, one of those northeast states. And he's also in the National Guard. And he served in Ramadi, Iraq, and wrote a book about his experiences as a combat medic. He's also a nurse, first working in an aid station and then going out on patrols. And he's written a book called Saber's Edge that's on my nightstand now. I was just wanting to get started with that. And then I'm actually doing a podcast with him next week to learn more about the book and why he wrote it. But, you know, it was this wide spectrum of vendors. You know, we had Zoll and Physio and those sorts and ambulances, you know, people showing off products that were like tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars on one end of the spectrum. And then a guy like Tom on the other end of the spectrum, who's had some amazing experiences, wants to share that with others in the profession. And he sat down and he wrote a book and he was there to sell some books. And again, that's Tom Middleton. The book is Saber's Edge. And I haven't read it yet, but it looks like Natalie already has. So
any impressions, Natalie?
Thought I have.
I told you guys when we were at Expo, I read like 3 or 4 books a week. And that was definitely one of, I have to read it again because I read it when my flight was delayed. So I was a little annoyed while reading it just because I kept, you know, looking at the time. But I loved it. And I'm definitely going to have to read it again now that I'm safely at home in Louisiana. But yeah, it was just an amazing look at something that I've never been exposed to as for, I've never been a combat medic. Of course, I'm only 22. But, you know, I've never even thought about doing that. And what Tom did was just amazing. So I definitely recommend it to everyone who is interested in medicine and everything having to do with emergency medicine, which is great.
So guess what, folks? If you're in the chat room right now, you can get in and possibly pick up a free copy. I've got 2 copies to give away tonight on the show. And so if you'd like a copy of this book, here's what you need to do. You need to send me an email to podmedic@mac.com, and I'll put that in the chat room. Put Saber's Edge in the subject line and make sure you include your address, and I will pick 2 of the people that send me that email in the next 12 to 24 hours, and I will pick 2 of you, and I'll send you one of the copies I have here to send out, because Tom gave us some books to give away. So I'm going to definitely take care of that. I want to thank everybody on the show. Natalie, where can we find more of you out there in the web?
Well, of course, I'm at Miss Paramedic on Twitter. Also on Facebook, it's / Miss Paramedic, MS Paramedic. Also, I'm working on a new website, but for now you can find me at missparamedic.wordpress.com. I'm working on a missparamedic.com. I'm having a little trouble with GoDaddy. But so yeah, you can find me there.
And excellent, excellent. Carissa, where can we find more of what you're doing?
You can always find me on Twitter at Carissa O. That's CARISSAO. You can also find me on my EMS blog at baselinevitals.com.
Thank you very much. And Carissa, one real quick before we move on to Greg, you want to tell us a little bit about what our friends that couldn't be here tonight, what they've been working on this past week. You want to talk a little bit about the project that Ted and Chris are working on?
Yeah, I would love to. So we are working on a groundbreaking, first of its kind web series that's really showing the reality of EMS. It's called The Chronicles of EMS. You can follow us on Facebook. If you search for Chronicles of EMS, I think we got in 2 days, we're up to 500 plus fans on Facebook, and we're thrilled that a lot of people are following the story on both Facebook and on Twitter. A number of us are tweeting about it. You can follow myself, Ted at Setla, S-E-T-L-A, is the video producer that's filming all of this. And then, of course, our 2 medics, UK Medic 999 and the Happy Medic
on Twitter, and their two blogs. They're basically two guys riding around an ambulance in San Francisco, sharing experiences, comparing their systems between the U.S. and the U.K., talking about technology and caring for patients and having a whole lot of fun. So we're hoping to we're filming every day this week. And we're going to be putting together a pilot episode, and it's going to be a kick butt series. We're signing on sponsors. We've got a number of people that are supporting us, and we're about a minute shy of signing on our first major sponsor for the series, which we'll be hopefully announcing tomorrow. And it's exciting. We're hoping all of our EMS friends are going to be following, because it's really the first thing of this kind.
Yeah, it has been very exciting, and I've just been tickled to be able to help and tweet about it. So, you know, everybody, I urge you to check out the Facebook page. Again, chroniclesofems.com will take you to the website over at Ted Setla's site and let you take a look at what they're doing. On the Facebook fan page, if you become a fan over there, Ted's been posting pictures and little segments of iPhone video and things that he's been shooting, just to kind of give you an idea of what they've been talking about. And there was a very interesting just couple minutes where they were talking to the chief of the San Francisco Fire Department about, you know, what's been going on there. And just very interesting. And it's just an iPhone video. I can't wait to see what Ted gets on his HD cameras that he uses. It's just awesome.
Exactly. It's going to be awesome. And if you want to do a search on the stream over the last couple of days, since I think we started on Saturday night, there's also a hashtag set up with all things Chronicles of EMS, and that's COEMS. You'll be able to see the whole stream if you search on that hashtag.
And I've added those things in the chat room, so you can check out those links in the chat room and definitely follow up on that. And yes, Miss Paramedic, it's no surprise that you beat me typing into the chat room. I knew that would happen. Greg, where can we find more of you?
Well, a couple places, certainly on Twitter, at GFreeze. I've got a blog, a couple of them, but Everyday EMS Tips, probably the best place for Medicast listeners to start. And then I just wanted to, I know you've talked about this before, Jamie, with your audience, but EMSbootcamp.com, the project that I have with Jim Hoffman. We have a session actually tomorrow that's going to be about diabetic emergencies, and Jim's premise is he's going beyond what you learned in school about diabetic emergencies, and we actually have our biggest audience sign up yet for that, so we're really getting some good momentum with EMSbootcamp.com. Buck Ferris did a great presentation a couple weeks ago about the autonomic nervous system, and he's got another presentation coming up on the 23rd of this month about medical math. And Buck promises that this is the, you know, anyone that's ever been confused about drug dosage calculations, this is it. This will end their problems. So if you're a field paramedic or EMT now, or you're in school and you want to be done with being confused about medical math, Buck is your guy. EMS Boot Camp, November 23rd.
Yeah, and I signed up for that one, and I have something on my site called MedMath Simplified, but I can't wait to see what Buck has to do, because he makes things so simple. I know he's a very good instructor, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with. It's going to be
all
great.
All right, we're throwing it down, Jamie versus
throw down.
Buck.
No, not a throw down. I'm just gonna.
I'll get it.
It's okay. We're gonna have a cage match, me and Buck Ferris, coming up on the 23rd.
Who can make medical math more simple? But, yeah. You know, I think that's maybe the final thought I'm going to share. It's just like, you know, we're at this point now where people that work in the field, that are educators, can share things that work well for them beyond, you know, the few people that you might work with. You know, I could say to my partner or a ride-along student, hey, I got this good way that I keep from getting my shirt from getting all muddy by the patient's feet when we load them into the ambulance. But I can only share that with a handful of people. By having a blog or a webinar or a podcast, you know, we literally get to share that those tips and ideas around the world. And that's exciting. And that's innovation.
Yeah, definitely. And since Dr. A's in the chat room, and you know, Dr. Anonymous is a member of our ProMed Network, ProMedNetwork.com, where all of our podcasts, Greg's podcast, the EMS Educast, and Chris Montero's and the MedicCast, and you know, you can find Dr. Anonymous's show over there as well. And I just want to make a pitch. You know, if you get if you have a medical blog, you know, we're going to be working hard to put together another med blogger conference at BlogWorld next year. And I'd like to see, I'd like to not be the only EMS blogger there. That's my goal, is to bring some other folks with me, because it was a lot of fun. We got to talk to all the other bloggers in all the other various areas of the healthcare field, including some great patient blogs. And I look forward to having an opportunity to really expand the discussions that we started this year. And I know Dr. A would agree with that. Let's wrap up here. And I want to remind you of a couple of things. You can find more of me over at MedicCast.com. And if you need to get back in touch with me or contact me about this episode or any other episode with a comment or a suggestion or question, and yes, even a correction, because you know this is a community effort, you can reach me by sending me an email to podmedic@mac.com. You can also call in on the voicemail line, and that is 941-306-3342. 941-30-MEDIC will get you into the podcast voicemail line. And that's going to kind of wrap things up. You know, Greg, I think we did this at the conference. Let's see if we can pull this off here as we wrap the show up. I want to remind everybody and end my show as I always do. Don't forget, folks, I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. And please remember, scene safety and...
BSI.
Awesome.
BSI.
Good work, everybody.
All right, let's try that one more time. I'll cut it in. This is live radio, folks, but I'm going to make it sound better in the recording on Sunday.
We talked over each other.
All right. So we're going to just, we'll all be ready. We all got our mics open. And let's. Okay. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Don't forget, folks, scene safety. And
BSI. Are we doing this on three, or is it
scene safety? Scene safety and pause BSI. Okay.
BSI.
All right. Here we go.
You led it differently each time.
I know I did. It's my fault. It works so much better at the conference, Craig.
Well, because we had eye contact.
All right. Here we go. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Don't forget, folks, scene safety and...
BSI.
Oh, that's okay. All right. I think I'll leave the whole thing in there and they can see.
Yes, don't edit. No editing.
No editing. You can just see that this is how it goes. Hey, folks, take care. And don't forget to check back in the show notes for some of the stuff we talked about in the episode here. And definitely follow up and... check back at MedicCast.com or the ProMedNetwork.com and follow up on everybody's links, because there's a lot of great stuff going on in EMS right now, and there's going to be a whole lot more coming. You definitely want to follow what's going on with all of the people I had on the show and all the things we talked about over the next few weeks and months. So with that said, I will let you all go, and take care.